This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
I'm Buzz Ulrich.
I'm Kip Allen.
I'm Roland Lettner.
And I'm Andy Bates.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest...
Was Luther the first to invent the catechism? Was he the first to recognize the need for such a special teaching document? And are Lutherans the only church with such an instruction book?
It was 496 years ago that Martin Luther started the Reformation, but there was a lot more to it than his 95 theses. More coming up.
What does the state of the family have to do with the Lutheran Church?
The Reverend Guntas Baikos, a Latvian-born pastor with a church in Australia, is the reigning super heavyweight arm wrestling champion of Australia.
And now today's Fast Track.
Representatives and leaders of the Ethiopian Evangelical Church Makata Jesus, or EECMY, and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod met at the Makata Jesus Seminary, the EECMY headquarters, and the Godina Tumsa Holistic Training Center in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, January 23rd through the 26th, to discuss the relationship between the two church bodies. Although the churches have diverse histories that developed in different countries, the leaders have discovered that both church bodies believe that the Holy Scriptures are the Word of God and the only source and infallible norm of all church doctrine and practice. In addition, both churches subscribe to the Lutheran confessions. Although the two church bodies recognize they have differences in doctrine and practice in certain specific areas, both believe that additional formal discussions between the leaders of the EECMY and the LCMS must occur. As such, three-member teams from each church body and the presidents of the two church bodies will begin formal doctrinal discussions within the next 9 months. The Reverend Dr. Daniel Harmelink has been named the Executive Director of Concordia Historical Institute in St. Louis, Missouri, USA, effective today, the 1st of February, 2014. An ordained minister, artist, and historian, Harmelink brings a profound interest in CHI and a desire to proclaim Lutheran history. Larry Lumpy, who has been the executive director of the Concordia Historical Institute since 2010, is set to retire on the 15th of February and will work with Harmelink in the two-week period to help his successor. Lumpy is quoted saying, "Daniel is well qualified for this position," adding that Harmelink is well-versed in the church's history and dedicated to maintaining our legacy. Harmelink is the founding president of the International Association of Reformation Coins and Medals, which seeks to further the study of the Lutheran Reformation worldwide through numismatic art. He is working, along with Reverend Dr. Frederick Schumacher, executive director of the American Lutheran Publicity Bureau, to publish a catalog of around 700 commemorative Reformation coins and medals in time for the 500th anniversary of the Reformation in 2017. Concordia Historical Institute maintains more than 2.5 million documents and 7,500 artifacts tracing Lutheran history in the United States and around the world. There is more information about CHI online at www.lutheranhistory.org.
Este é Notícias Luteranas pelo Mundo. This is Royal Lutheran News Digest.
Dateline, Germany, November 1528. On the 30th of November 1528, Martin Luther began the third of three sermon series on the Catechism because so many people who had just come into the faith needed fundamental instruction. Was Luther the first to invent the Catechism? Was he the first to recognize the need for such a special teaching document? And are Lutherans the only church with such an instruction book? Dr. Robert Kolb is Professor Emeritus of Systematic Theology at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, and the foremost expert on Martin Luther.
It's very interesting that throughout Western Europe, there were several catechisms in use, not as a book, but there were several programs of instruction, all revolving around these four basic parts of the catechism. When Luther had such success with his catechisms, then other people decided they needed catechisms too. One of the most famous efforts at writing a catechism in 16th century Germany was the effort of a Roman Catholic, a Jesuit named Peter Canisius. Other groups in Germany also wrote catechisms. The most famous is the Heidelberg Catechism, written by followers of John Calvin in the city of Heidelberg. And then throughout the next 300-400 years, groups of all kinds wrote these basic fundamental orientations to Christian life and Christian faith, so that I think almost all denominations would have something similar to the catechisms that Luther wrote.
After efforts by Luther's Wittenberg colleagues failed to produce a catechism satisfactory for Luther's needs, he took the task upon himself.
And finally, in 1528, he became impatient. He had just been visiting the villages in the countryside around Wittenberg, and he found such miserable spiritual conditions that he said, "We've got to do something now. We've got to start educating the young people in our congregations." And so he repeated what he had done from time to time. He preached on the catechism. Luther just stood in the pulpit in Wittenberg and gave Christian instruction to the people. And in early 1529, he prepared what we might say was a big wall chart. And then after that, he prepared what we might call a kind of teacher's manual, the large catechism, and after that, then the small catechism.
Since the earliest days of the church, memorization has been critical for teaching and communicating the faith.
Because we have to remember that in 1528-29, the vast majority of Germans could not read or write. And so the small catechism is designed for memorization so that people, many of whom would never learn to read and write, would have the basics of the Christian faith. 50 years later, when one of the authors of the Formula of Concord, Jakob André, was preaching to his people about talking about their faith to Roman Catholics or Zwinglians or Schwenkfelder, he reminded them that not all of them could actually read the Bible because they didn't know how to read and write, but they could remember their catechisms. And so that was the case from 1529 on when Luther wrote his catechisms.
But beyond simple instruction in the basic tenets of the faith, they helped to form Lutheran culture and identity.
Lutherans counted the catechisms of Luther as very basic to their faith. And in 1580, when they gathered the defining documents, the Lutheran Confessions, into the Book of Concord, in its pages, the catechisms can be found, and that was part of the defining text for pastors and for the people of Lutheran churches throughout Germany, Sweden, Finland, and other lands. And of course, that's true in our world today.
But work on the catechism didn't stop in the 16th century.
The Lutherans didn't just stop there, though. They went on to follow Luther's advice. If you read the preface to the Small Catechism, he said we need other catechisms as well. In the 17th century, one man particularly stands out as the author of a number of catechetical helps. His name was Conrad Dietrich. He was a pastor in South Germany. And he prepared not only this catechism, but he also prepared books on how to teach the catechism for pastoral students. And in the works of Conrad Dietrich, we have a tradition that goes down to the 21st century because his catechisms, his form for catechetization, influenced teaching in the Missouri Synod. Over 4 centuries, Luther's catechisms have been used by Luther, but Luther's catechisms have also influenced the other traditions, Roman Catholic, Calvinist, but practically all other denominations, by bringing them to use some form of the echo of the catechism, of the back and forth of Christian teachers and learners. You can think of the Anglican tradition, and you probably think of the prayer book. You can think of the Calvinist tradition, and you might think of Calvin's institutes. When you think of Lutherans, the first book you think of is Luther's Small Catechism. That's true not only for us in North America, it's true throughout the world. This book has really shaped our faith.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. ഇത് ലോക ലൂഥറൻ വാർത്താ പരിപാടിയാകുന്നു.
Martin Luther wasn't the first man to challenge the authority of the Roman Catholic Church, but he was the first to succeed. Luther lived in remarkable times at the height of the Renaissance. Mark Saint-Gelais, senior editor at Concordia Publishing House, is the author of the book Inside the Reformation, The Times That Changed the World. He says that Luther was writing and preaching at a pivotal time in world history.
I think what was most fascinating to me, is, especially as I started to work on doing this book, Inside the Reformation, is to really understand and put it in the context of what else was going on in world history.
Sanjolet notes that the world was rapidly changing. Remember that Luther was nearly a contemporary of Christopher Columbus.
I'd studied the Reformation as a student growing up in Lutheran schools and Lutheran college, but had never really hit that aha of, this is just 2 decades, essentially, or 3 decades after Columbus sailed to the New World.
A lot was happening, and Sanjolet says Luther was part of these events.
There's all these other things going on in the world at the same time. It's like, Luther was just part of that huge movement of what was going on.
Western civilization was changing at breakneck speed, with many gifted men leading the way at the same time.
Part of the whole Renaissance movement that was starting to move on, and the artwork of Michelangelo is painting, or Da Vinci rather, is painting the Mona Lisa. Michelangelo is painting the Sistine Chapel, all within, within a few years of when Luther was putting those 95 theses on the door.
Two factors were especially critical to Luther's success. One was that travel in Europe had become much easier. The second was Gutenberg's invention of the printing press. These two factors combined meant that Luther's message of reform quickly spread throughout Europe.
Where it fit into world history and how all of the things that were going on in world history from Gutenberg's press really influenced the ability for Luther, it certainly wasn't Instagram or Facebook, but how it was able to speed up the process of spreading Luther's writings around the world.
For the first time, cheap, easily portable pamphlets and books were able to cross the continent in relative speed.
Travel became more possible. People were able to take the printed word more easily to other places and spread the word, so to speak, because things became more portable.
People as a whole were learning more and more about the world and society. Many had the same questions as did Luther, but his writings spread, attracting like-minded individuals who began openly questioning the authority of Rome.
People were really started to question the authority of the Pope all the way around. It wasn't just Luther who was doing that, but others who were starting to question the authority of the Church because they were learning and they were discovering and they were finding out more about the world around them.
Luther's writings spread with a speed and influence that no one anticipated, not even Luther himself.
It started out in that very small region there in Germany, and Luther really never intended to take it. He never envisioned, I don't think, when he the day that he made the decision, I'm going to go put up these points of debate that I want to have this discussion. I don't know that even he envisioned where it was going to go.
Others had questioned the Vatican before Luther, but the papal authorities were able to suppress or ignore such dissent. This time, the message and its spread were different.
It very quickly went beyond Germany as it went to Rome.
Instead of one obscure monk raising questions in a remote German town, the questions spread throughout Europe. The Vatican was forced to react.
The Roman Church was then forced to make some kind of a response. They tried it locally first, but then that didn't work very well for them, and so the effort kept growing and growing.
Luther's writings reached religious dissidents across the continent. Prior to this time, these people felt they were alone and isolated. Luther proved they were not.
I think his finally voicing it, so to speak, by writing the questions down, finally gave a voice to people who had the same question in their head but had never dared to speak it before or had never dared to actually write down what they were thinking in the past.
The Reformation continues. The movement Luther started is clearly different from the Roman Catholic faith. However, many people still today fail to see those differences.
They see little difference between us as Lutherans and Catholics. But I think it comes back to a general lack of understanding of what the Church teaches, what either of our churches teach.
Many people simply think that all Christians, especially Lutherans and Catholics, believe the same things. This simply is not true.
There's still a whole lot of folks out there who just think, it's all the same. All these religions are the same, and they don't understand the difference, and that there still is a huge difference, officially especially, between the official teaching of the Roman Catholic Church. The Lutherans were still very far apart from each other.
And so Luther's great work remains unfinished 496 years later. The Reformation continues. Sanjale is looking forward to the next milestone, the Reformation's 500th anniversary in 2017.
I'm kind of excited as we're now just a very few years away from celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation.
Luther started by nailing some questions on the door of one church in a German town. Today, his followers are worldwide and number in the millions.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. ഇത് ലോക ലൂത്രൻ വാർത്താ പരിപാടി ആകുന്നു. യ വിശ്വ ലൂത്രൻ സമാചാർ ഹെ.
What is the current state of the family in North America? Professor Ben Freudenberg of the Concordia Center for the Family at Concordia University Ann Arbor describes the state of the family as in crisis.
Family is in crisis. On the one hand, the divorce rate continues to climb. The model that Americans see as the model of family is getting obscure. Marriage in the culture is becoming less valuable.
If the family and parents are commanded by God to provide for the proper training of their children, especially instruction in the one true faith, what does this crisis of the family mean for the church?
I think the job right now in our culture with the church and the family is we have to raise the capacity of the church to help families thrive so the families can be a safe place, a secure place for children to grow in relationships with each other, in relationships with their neighbor, but mostly in relationship with God.
What can congregations do to help marriages and families thrive?
The resources are plentiful for congregations to look for and to use. What I think the church needs to really begin to investigate is how do we best use them so that the congregation has the knowledge, skills, and attitudes so that they can integrate that into their congregational life and therefore support the families in their congregations. Concordia University Ann Arbor, in partnership with Concordia University Mequon, has a family life program where we're actually preparing students with the knowledge, skills, and attitudes to go into congregations as directors of family ministry to help congregations do just that, help their church be equipped to help families.
The Family Life Program and the new Concordia Center for the Family at Concordia University Ann Arbor teaches, supports Christian research for the home, offers funding, and uplifts students, parents, and congregations in the process of helping families thrive, pass on the faith, and grow godly leaders for today's world. The Family Life Program prepares individuals to support families in service to the church and other settings. Upon certification as a certified family life educator, they can serve in a variety of settings. Some may serve congregations as directors of family life ministry, and others may serve hospitals as child life specialists, where they serve as advocates for families of children with serious illnesses. Some may also serve in other social service agencies in the community. Students in the program study lifespan development, including child psychology, adolescent psychology, marriage, family law, ethics, and methodology. Family life is a preventative education, says Professor Freudenberg.
You see, family life education is not recuperative. You know, it's not really psychology, it's not counseling, and it's not social work. It's actually preventative education so that we can have our families be equipped to thrive rather than recuperate from problems. And so I think that's one of the things you really have to realize about family life education. It's really preventative medicine.
So why is family life important for Lutherans?
Families in our churches are struggling. And when we apply the grace that the Lutherans know and understand, you know, the grace of Christ, that third strand in our marriages, when we help our families understand the biblical principles of marriage and parenting and human sexuality, it not only can help those families thrive, but when those families become stronger, it helps the church thrive. Mm-hmm. So strong families help church be strong.
O Usted está escuchando el resumen de noticias Mundo Luterano. This is World Lutheran News Digest.
I'm Kip Allen with the Lighter Side of Lutherans. We know that our faith strengthens us. And it's not just a spiritual strength sometimes, but often physical as well. The Reverend Guntas Baikos, a Latvian-born pastor with a church in Australia, is a case in point. His strength is such that he's the reigning super heavyweight arm wrestling champion of Australia. He competes internationally and was recently in Illinois competing, where he was interviewed.
Guntas Baikos. How long? So it's not obviously American name, it's Latvian name.
Oh, you're from,
originally
Latvia?
From Latvia.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Oh, do you know, how long have you been following now?
Sorry?
How long have you been arm wrestling?
Well, I began sometimes in the middle of 90s.
Oh, okay.
And did it very intensely for 6-7 years probably, and lately haven't been doing much. So thanks to guys from Missouri team.
Yes.
I'm back again and
teacher.
Yeah.
So what are some of your titles? Do you have any like national titles or?
I'm not sure. It was
not
a long
sure?
time ago and that's
okay.
The best I think. I think best was fourth in Worlds in 2002.
You got fourth at Worlds?
Well, yeah.
What weight?
Couple 110.
110.
Whatever
242. Yeah, 242. Yeah.
A couple times I was fourth in Europe.
Wow, wow.
I won one overall in Latvia. I won,
Norman Thompson?
Golden Arm.
Oh, Golden Arm, okay.
Yeah, overall in Golden Arm.
Wow.
A couple times. So.
Who were some of the competitors there, do you remember?
So,
who did you beat? Do you remember or no? Any?
Both of them, but yes, the situation is very... Situation is very, very different, I guess, right now. Same mostly Russian team, American team, Georgian team, these were very strong, and they usually came with a lot of guys, and now it's kind of, level is already more or less equal. So a lot of guys are pulling good level.
So when did you move to America, USA?
Oh, I came to America 4.5 years ago, studying seminary in St. Louis. So basically I'm a pastor from Latvia. Latvian Evangelical Lutheran Church, so
and
that's what I do for a living.
Did you always live? did you always live in the St. Louis area?
Yes, yes. It's been quite a good time, and so we moved his family and everything. So
and,
yeah, like enjoyed how, a lot, especially last year. I enjoyed because I had a chance to meet these guys and do some bowling. And
so how hard do you train? Like, do you train still or not too much?
I kind of put much larger emphasis to keep this place flat and
yep.
I go to the gym usually 2-3 times a week and run a little bit or do something.
Okay.
Lately I've been doing a lot maybe with rubber bands and just the strength in shoulders and elbows and
so do you
heal all the injuries.
Do you think you're as strong now as you were 10 years ago, or both the same, or
so.
Not quite close?
I don't think so. I'm not sure. It's difficult to compare.
Smarter.
Older, 10 years
older. Smarter.
And if you,
it's a difference.
Yeah, it's a...
Learn what to do, not as much with your arm as you do with your leverage.
Yep.
Yeah, a little bit better.
So physically, probably a little bit weaker.
Not too much, though.
But technically, better.
It's a huge difference.
Have you met this guy before?
It's my first time meeting him.
Have you ever heard of him? I'd heard of him,
absolutely,
but I'd never seen him. Never seen him. So how many, have you done
these are all news.
Got a good hand.
Have you done a lot of competitions in USA? Have you done a lot of?
No, just once.
Just
once,
a few? Just around?
2008, I went to Missouri State. And,
okay.
That's it.
Just around Missouri?
I've been quite busy all the time.
Okay.
Studying, basically, I've been reading books a lot, and that's how I stay in shape.
So, and how old are you?
So, 40.
What? Hell, I guess like 32.
Sorry to disappoint you.
And Josh Dale told me you're moving to Australia?
Yes, hopefully we soon, maybe a couple of weeks.
Okay.
We have shipped already everything and just waiting for last formalities.
This guy got like third or fourth at Worlds before, but he just lost his team. He's moving to Australia in like 3 weeks. He's from Latvia.
There's a small
problem. Not really. He didn't even go. Just a couple more. I was gonna say.
It's good.
Are you gonna keep pulling? Are you gonna keep pulling then? In Australia.
We'll see.
One thing, you're gonna go to the Miraf World Cup in a couple years.
Oh no!
What?
It's a different level.
I don't bet anything. The most money I've ever bet in my life is $5. I'll bet you $20 that you can get in the top six left-handed.
Where?
At the Miraf.
Where?
In
the Miraf? No.
Top
no.
six.
No.
Yes, left-handed.
No.
And has your left hand always been here?
I'm not being modest. I'm just now, guys, who are competing.
For sure, the top half. What do you think? He can for sure beat a couple guys.
I don't have a clue.
Have you always been better? Are you a lefty?
We have two probably most famous guys, two of most famous arm wrestlers from Latvia. Norman Thompson, Jan Samuelinč.
Yep.
Samuelinč is 75, 75, 80.
Yep, I know who they are.
He would beat me easily on both arms.
Yanis?
Yes.
Not left-handed.
Yes.
I would put money on you.
Yeah.
So the name Gultas Baikos could now be added to the list of famous Lutheran athletes such as Lou Gehrig, Knut Olsen, and Tom Landry. I'm Kip Allen, World Lutheran News Digest.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at KFUO.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, email news@KFUO.org.